This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, February 23rd, 2018. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, thousands of university lecturers in the UK start 14 days of strike action to save their pensions. How transportation unions are facing automation, fighting sexual harassment in workplaces and our unions. Plus, Hold That Line by Robin Roberts. This is Radio Labour. In the United Kingdom, university lecturers are fighting to protect their pensions. C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
In the United Kingdom, tens of thousands of university lecturers have started a 14-day strike as part of a series of walkouts planned to protest severe cuts in their pension plans. More than a million students in 64 universities will be affected by the walkouts, which will be spread out over a month. The dispute is centered on a demand from the universities that they be allowed to change the pension plans of their lecturers from a defined benefit plan, which guarantees a certain pension amount, to a defined contribution plan, which would fluctuate according to the stock market. The union representing the lecturers, the University and College Union, estimates that a typical lecturer would lose an estimated £10,000 a year, about $14,000. The union says that younger academics could lose almost half of their retirement income. The university's bargaining agent, known by its acronym UUK, says that the universities cannot afford the current pension scheme. Jo McNeil is the president of the union local at Liverpool University.
We cannot live on 100% defined contribution pensions. So it is absolutely, you know, beyond, a joke that they would expect our membership to accept that proposal. So obviously then, you know, the mobilisation of the membership, you know, moved in earnest then. People who have never seen at a union meeting in my life were at union meetings, you know, banging about the fact that they don't want to lose their pension, which they've got every right to do. Yeah. We start our strike action on the 22nd of Feb. This is not the type of action that our members are used to. You know, our members are the academic staff. They're not our MT. You know, I would love our members to be as active as like the railway, as unions or something, but this isn't the type of action our members are used to. So getting them to come out for 14 days and stand on picket lines is a job. I really do think we can win this fight because universities are not ready for this type of disruption, and they're not ready for the students to turn on them in the way that they are.
Some of the striking lecturers prepared a video explaining the strike action to the students.
The university's UK's management wants to destroy the pension scheme. Some staff will lose as much as 40% of their pensions, but management refused to budge or even bargain.
This dispute is about pensions, but it's also about marketisation. Pensions are being cut, staff are being casualised, and students are paying massive fees. These issues are all linked.
We don't want a strike. 90% of our work is meetings and admin, but teaching you is what we want to do.
Striking means we don't get paid. It means we don't know if we'll have the money to pay our rents, our mortgages, pay for childcare, electricity, or for food. But we have to stop these attacks on our education system. We're out of options.
Boycott lectures and seminars.
Support the picket line.
Show your support by wearing a purple square.
Write to the Vice-Chancellor to tell him that you support him in his objections to these reforms.
Come to our alternative events.
This is an opportunity. We can call for free tuition. We can call for new learning environments. We can use strikes to create a new, different university. We can win.
Nationally, 58% of the lecturers voted for strike action. Polls taken before the strike showed that 61% of students supported the lecturers as they fight to protect their pensions. I'm C. Marie Ainsborough.
One of the sectors most at risk of negative automation effects is transportation. Unions in the sector are grappling with what to do with Uber-like app services, driverless cars, and airplanes that fly themselves from airport to airport. One of the labor organizations which has been studying the phenomena is the International Transport Workers Federation. The ITF represents some 20 million transport workers in 150 countries. They are members of 700 unions. Rob Johnston is the ITF's Assistant General Secretary.
I think it's really important that we show that workers need to be at the heart of the transition. Automation is not something that's new to the transport sector. If you look at the transport sectors over the years, they're probably one of the sections which has had to change fastest. But we're really at a crossroads now, where we have the ability to try and influence, to inspire and innovate our approach. But what we need to do is make sure that there are not winners and losers in that journey, and that it's mutually beneficial for everyone. The changes can't be driven on the basis of profit alone. It needs to look at communities. It looks at the benefits of workers, society as a whole. How do you raise tax revenue when you have driverless taxis, for example, or driverless trucks or aeroplanes that fly themselves, things like that. So we really need to take a good look at the whole piece and figure out how do we benefit, how do we sell the story or the innovation to society as a whole, and how do we all benefit from it.
Frank Moriels is the president of the European Transport Workers Federation.
You can, of course, fight automation. You can say, no, we don't want it. But I don't believe that it's a correct strategy. We have to deal with it. And we have to say, yeah, it's an innovation. It's okay, but there are conditions. We want to manage it as a trade union. We will not accept anything that happens. We are not against applications in the taxi sector. We are not against programs in the taxi sector. But we are against the business model. We are against the fact that the guys who are driving are exploited. That's the problem. So we should not fight the innovation, but we should try to manage it and to control it.
Tony Sheldon is the National Secretary of the Transport Workers Union of Australia.
Well, many governments, along with unions and with employer groups, have really failed to grasp the challenges that means for industry, both for capital that's already invested in the transport industry and, most importantly, labour that we represent, and the consequences for society more broadly. Who gets the value? Is it a tech company that comes up with a new coding that builds a truck around it? Is it the driver that drives the vehicle? Is it the consumer? Or is it the government receiving taxes? Or is everybody sharing the outcomes? I think what's really one of the big challenges is looking at how we have a uniform approach to automation and technology to deal with specifically the changes on how work can be done, but also dealing with the changes with apps being an employment process. You know, we've seen subcontracting chains in transport that's been around for a very long time. We're now seeing app-based exploitation of labour.
Steve Cotton, the General Secretary of the ITF, was asked how the effects of automation could be confronted.
It's a constant challenge in our society today. It seems to be all about money and how much money you can make. But there are institutions, the International Labour Organization, United Nations organizations, there are interested third parties, NGOs, who are trying to strive to put in place a safety net that means society is fairer and looking after human and civil rights.
The labor movement has not only been at the forefront of the struggle against sexual harassment, it has also been part of the problem. But things are changing. As an example, just recently, the AFL-CIO in the United States held a conference to discuss sexual harassment in the workplace and labor unions. The AFL-CIO is the largest labor federation in the United States. Richard Trumka is the organization's president.
I want to start by reading the AFL-CIO Code of Conduct, and it reads as follows. The AFL-CIO is committed to providing an environment free from discrimination and harassment, regardless of an individual's race, ethnicity, religion, color, sex, age, national origin, sexual orientation, disability, gender identity or expression, ancestry, pregnancy, or any other characteristic prohibited by law. As such, the AFL-CIO will not tolerate discrimination, harassing, or otherwise unacceptable behavior in the workplace or at any of our activities, events, or meetings. We adopt the code of conduct, and we expect everyone in the workplace and those that participate in any of our activities, events, or meetings to abide by it. And I got to tell you, long before Harvey Weinstein became a household name, we adopted this comprehensive code of conduct that goes beyond the law of the land and is read at every AFL-CIO event throughout the country. When we begin our union events with these important words, it's a very, very powerful signal that harassment and retaliation and discrimination won't be tolerated. And it helps to move the cultural change that we need at work and in all of our unions. I'm extremely proud of and humbled by the courage of the women who are bringing this issue of sexual harassment to the forefront, including my sister and my partner, AFL-CIO Secretary-Treasurer Liz Schuller. Liz. And let me assert another hard truth. Labor's been part of the problem. See, sexism and misogyny in our ranks has been tolerated for far too long. Some of you have personally experienced it. The looks, the comments, the innuendo. See, this old boys club mentality must die, and it really must die today. Here's the good news. Labor is also part of the solution. We're still the greatest force for social change in America. We can combat sexism with solidarity. We can tear down misogyny with movement building. And we can use our own contracts to discourage bad behavior and to punish bad actors. And let me leave you with this. No worker, I don't care what you do, how high or how low the position is perceived, no worker should be treated like a piece of property. No one should be touched or bullied or harassed or assaulted or discriminated against on the job. No worker.
Now, here is Robin Roberts with Hold That Line.
Hold that line, hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken, stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line, hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken, stand and hold that picket line. We're standing here together, one for all and all for one. And we'll keep right on here standing till our victory we have won. We're united in our struggle, no, there's none us can divide. We'll yield nothing to the enemy, cause we've justice on our side. Sing now, hold that line, hold that line. Sisters, brothers, never weaken, stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line. Hold that line, sisters, brothers, never weaken, stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line against the bosses when they try to drive us back. Hold that line against the coppers and their armed baton attacks. Hold that line against the government, against all enemies of our class. Hold that line against the scabs, too, no, we'll never let them pass. Hold that line. Hold that line, sisters, brothers, never weaken, stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line, hold that line, sisters, brothers, never weaken, stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line against the World Bank and against the IMF. Hold that line and keep on holding it as long as we have breath. Hold that line against their dogma, hold that line against their creed. Hold that line to save the future from their plunder and their greed. Singing now, hold that line, sisters, brothers, never weaken, stand and hold that picket line. Hold that line, sisters, brothers, never weaken, stand and hold that picket line.
Hold That Line was written by Peter Hicks and Jeff Francis. And that's it. International labor news you can use. I'm Mark Belanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.